Are you ready to try your hand at placing your very first stock trade? Then check out our free guide, 10 Steps to Choosing Your First Stock to Trade, the Ultimate Beginner's Guide. In this free download, you'll learn how to choose the right kinds of stocks and how to find them, know when to buy your stocks and when to sell them, and you'll learn how to take your very first steps to becoming a stock trader and much more. Grab your free guide now by going to tradeway.com/guide. That's tradeway.com/guide. Hey guys, I'm David Mitchell, founder and CEO of Tradeway. What if God himself gave you a blueprint for how to handle your money? Well, the Bible is a practical book. Let's dive in and see what it has to say about wealth, about risk, about leverage, and about investing, and uncover how trading in the stock market can be a powerful tool for moving towards your biggest goals. We're so happy you're here. This is The Word on Investing. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm going to continue a theme we've been talking about, and let me just read Proverbs 29:18 to you today. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And what that's really talking about is dreaming, having big dreams, and that's what we've been talking about. And I'm going to go into Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and there is an amazing section of scripture there that tells us from God's viewpoint what he says about dreaming like an entrepreneur dreams, you know, having a vision or a goal or a big dream of what you want to accomplish and how that works and how it doesn't work. It's really interesting to me. So I'll review a little bit because we covered two verses last time, and then I'm going to move on into some new information. Last time it said, "For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words." And the point that that makes is that dreams come through actions, not through words, not through, you know, talking all the time about what we're going to do someday, telling a bunch of people, well, here's what I'm going to do. A lot of times people that just do that all the time, they never actually do anything. They just talk about it. And this scripture says very clearly that actually they come true through actions. So we have to take steps, right? I had two different mentors and they both taught me what they thought the points were to knowing God's will. And what's interesting is they didn't really know each other, but they came up with the same 4 points. Basically, they went like this. Number one, do you have a desire in your heart to do a thing? Because the Bible says God puts the desires in our hearts if we know him, right? Secondly, do you have the wherewithal to do it? So can you come up with the money it takes to do your dream, or at least find a way to get it? And number three, does it contradict scripture? And number four, do you have a peace in your heart with God about doing it? And those were their steps. Now, I added a fifth one. And the step that I added is this. Okay, once those four things line up and you think it's the Lord's will for you to do a thing, take steps. Take a step towards it. Do something, right? And that's kind of what this is talking about. It's more important to take those actions than it is just to keep talking about it. Now, the next step is like this. In verse 7, it says, "For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God." And so when it talks about here, people that have a multitude of dreams and many words, I liken that to a big theme that we see out there in the seminar world today where they talk about, well, you got to have multiple income streams. And last time we talked about that, so I'm just going to mention it. And that is, yes, wealthy people have multiple streams of income, but they develop those one at a time, and that's the difference. So you go back and listen to the last episode if you want to get the details on that. So let me move to the next point here. It's kind of funny, though. I was going to mention this last time, and I didn't. I pulled up here an example of an article that you find so many of these out there. This one said this, 23 legit ways to make extra cash. Right? And that's what the world pushes is multiple income streams. There's not a millionaire in the world that developed 23 income streams all at once. You just, like, it doesn't work that way. So that's what we talked about last time. Now listen to verse 8 in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. It says, "If thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they." Well, what I take from this now, if you just pull that verse out, you'd say, what does that have to do with dreaming? But if you realize it's in the context of this whole teaching on how dreams are important, what we see here is that while we're having our big dreams and we figure out which one we want to go after first, and we're going to put everything into that thing, we can't get all worried about peripheral things going on out there in the world. If you look at the news, there's bad things happening everywhere all the time. And so that's what this is talking about, is worrying about unexpected bad news does not help us achieve our dreams. That's the point of this. And I like the way that thing ends. It says, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. So when you take the world leaders that often get us into these problems, right? Well, God is higher than they are, and he is sovereign, and he is going to work things out, and he's in control, and that's what we need to focus on. So the third point then is, don't worry about all the negatives going on around you. Don't overthink those, and keep your focus on the dream. All right, now verse 9 in Ecclesiastes 5 says this, moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. And I think that one's very important, because actually a lot of people don't realize it, but the Bible teaches capitalism. Now, I know the word capitalism is not in the Bible, but neither is the word rapture, okay? So the principle is in the Bible. And this word where it says, moreover, the profit, that word profit is a capitalism word, because capitalism is the economic system in the world that allows a person to buy something at wholesale, mark it up, and sell it for a profit at retail. That is capitalism. There's a lot more to it. I'm oversimplifying, but communism and socialism are against that. I'll never forget when a certain man was running for president a few years back. I saw him give a speech, and he got up there and he said, well, look at Exxon. Exxon is a for-profit organization, as if that's a bad thing. It was so funny to me, because the entire economy of the West is built on capitalism and making a profit, and that's how every family prospers and so forth. Well, that's proof of it right here, because this scripture says, moreover, the profit of the earth. Profit is part of the Bible, is part of the scripture, and it's all through the New Testament as well. And what's interesting, it says here, the king himself is served by the field. So you take the highest person, whoever you think the highest person is in your society, maybe the president of the United States, or maybe Elon Musk, you know, the wealthiest person in the country, actually in the world. And you say, well, guess what? You know, if the crops fail, he doesn't have anything. So all of us depend upon God making the crops come up and so forth. And so I just think the main thing that I get for this is that the economy is not created by the king. The economy, you know, our government thinks they can control the economy through the Fed and through printing money or not printing money. And actually, all they do is destroy wealth when they try to do that. And the economy is not created nor controlled by the king. And that's what this is talking about. But we still have to pay attention to what the king is doing, because he can mess things up for a while, right? But we don't need to be overly worried about that, because everything happens in cycles in business. And if a particular industry group goes down in popularity, it's going to come back later. And we don't need to be overly worried about those things. We just need to keep focused on the dream that we have and move towards it. The next thing I see is in Ecclesiastes 5:10. It says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase, or profit is the word there in the Hebrew. This is also vanity. The first thing we need to know about money is that loving it will cause it to hurt us. So when we reach our dreams and we become a millionaire, we better know how to deal with the money, because if we love that money, it will hurt us and our children, and that's a promise. Now, the scripture also promises in the Proverbs that when God blesses us, he can bring money into our family, and he'll do it in such a way that it's without hurt. In other words, he'll teach us not to love the money. We just need to think of the fact that money is a tool. It's a tool that even God uses through us to get his work done in the world. And we need to realize the business that we're in is not ours, it's God's, and the money is not ours, it's God's, and we're stewards of it. And we're not supposed to be loving that money, we're supposed to be using it as a tool. And God, through his Holy Spirit, will teach us where he wants that money distributed. And the first place he tells us in 1 Timothy is to take care of our families financially. But when we begin to create wealth, then we have extra. And who says we have to keep it all right? So we're supposed to distribute that out into the world and find people that are in need, find businesses that need financing that maybe Christian people own, and all these different places God wants that money to go. We need to be walking with him so we know where to put that money. And it's his money, and it's a tool that's used to build his kingdom. And when you look at it that way, it will not hurt you. And that's, we teach people this all over the country. It's so important. So, you know, it is not money that's bad. It is loving money that will hurt you. And if you can learn that money is just a tool, it won't hurt you. And that's what I believe that verse in Ecclesiastes was teaching. Now, verse 10 says, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance of profit or increase. This is also vanity." So we just need to realize that money is a problem if we love it. So we don't need to focus on the money. We need to focus on the dream. And the dream needs to have to do with helping other people with their needs and their desires. And when we meet their need, then that's when God brings the wealth. Now, I understand for God to bring wealth, it's a conditional promise. And there are some conditions in the Bible we have to fulfill. We've talked about that on previous episodes many times. So you can go back and find a lot of those conditions. But we're just talking in general here of an entrepreneurial searching for meeting a dream. Let's make sure that that dream is about helping other people. And that's God's plan. And that's how capitalism really was designed to work, by God. And when we work it that way, God often brings blessings to our family because we're helping other families. Verse 11 says, "When goods increase, they are increased that eat them." Think about that. How many times did it happen maybe before you became entrepreneurial, or even now if you're still working for a paycheck, and all of a sudden you get a raise at the company where you're working, and all of a sudden all that money is spent because you just add more, you add a room onto your house, or you buy two new cars. And so the more money that we have, as it increases, human nature is, the tendency is to increase our spending. And that's what this verse is talking about. And it says, "And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes?" And so, like, it doesn't do them any good if every time they get a raise or more money comes in, they raise the level of their expenses. And the scripture is kind of humorous here because it says the only good of it is you can look at the stuff you just bought. You can behold it with your eyes, but you're not really gaining anything as far as wealth if your spending rises every time your income rises. And so there's a lesson for us. We need to get the income rising and sort of keep the expenses where they are for a while so we can save, so that that money we save can be invested, and then all of a sudden the money can make money. And that's what Tradeway is all about. So if you go out to tradeway.com and you take advantage of our educational system, you're going to learn how to let your money be the thing that makes your money rather than your hours. If you can get to the place where instead of trading your hours for money, you're letting your money work for the money, and that is the fourth quadrant in Kiyosaki's great book called The Cash Flow Quadrant. It's called the Investment Quadrant. It's the best business to be in. At Tradeway, we're going to teach you how to do that. So check that out. But that's, you know, that's where you don't want your expenses to rise to the same level as your income. You want your income to rise, your expenses stay where they are, so you can save and then have that money to invest and get into that quadrant. All right, so Proverbs 23:5 says, "Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as eagles towards heaven." So we've said so many times that it's so important that you understand that the knowledge that you gain, the knowledge and the understanding, and of course, that's what Tradeway is all about, is teaching you skill sets. That's the modern way of saying knowledge and wisdom and understanding that the Bible talks about. If you have that, the world can't take it away. I mean, it can take your money away through higher taxes, through frivolous lawsuits, whatever, but it can't take away what's between your ears. So when you make an investment towards your education and you continue to learn about proper trading skills and investing skills, they can't take that away. So if sometime your money just vanished, you have the skills to make it back. I've actually seen people do that in my lifetime, where I had some wonderful friends from Cuba years ago, and they were multimillionaires. And when Castro took over, they had to fly out that night with a suitcase, and that's all they had. So they lost everything they had, and they moved to Italy. And by the time I met them, they were millionaires again. Why is that? Because they had skill sets. So that's why Tradeway, we think it's so important. And that's why the Bible says that knowledge is better than gold, right? Okay, so that last point teaches us that the way to deal with newly found wealth is to postpone buying all the cool things you've always wanted. Just postpone that a little bit and take the new money and learn how to invest, and then use Wall Street's money to buy the toys with. Man, that is a great plan. You got to think that through. That is bigger than what I made that sound, okay? That is a big thought. So stay in the same house, drive the same car for a while. I mean, look at Buffett's car. Look at his house. That'll tell you something. All right. So use the money to make more money. Then use that money to invest it. Learn how to trade stocks properly. And the new money that comes in from Wall Street, use Wall Street's money to buy the things you need and want. And that is a great biblical principle that's being taught here in Ecclesiastes. Let Wall Street pay off your debts. Okay. And you know, there's a great thing, if you want a rabbit trail here, a thing that I see people doing wrong all the time. I mean, all the time. I had someone ask me this just at church Sunday. They said, you know, I got a little extra money coming in. I think I'm going to run out there and just pay out all my credit cards. And I said, wait a minute. Now let's think about that. Your credit card debt is what we call unsecured debt. That means they don't have any collateral. They cannot make you pay that back. Now, God says you should pay it back, right? But God says pay it back slowly. Don't jump out there and pay it back fast. So take the money that you would have used to pay that credit card off or that unsecured loan off and invest it in Wall Street and make new money, then take the Wall Street money and pay the credit card off. That is actually how the Bible principle would say to do it. And we've got other episodes where we teach that exact thing on what the Bible actually teaches about proper debt reduction. You might want to check those out. And so let Wall Street pay your debts off. Let them buy the new car you wanted or the new add-on to the house, but do that with new money that came from your investments, not from the extra money that you got on your raise. Does that make sense? And I think, you know, since this is a Bible principle, I think you'll find that it works. I talk all the time about Bible methodology, and that's what this is. It's not so much doctrine as it is methodology. So where God tells us, hey, if you want to accomplish this and this, then do it this way, we should do it His way. And that's what we're talking about here. So this allows you to leverage the money that you made, and it gives you the potential to create true wealth rather than having it all eaten up before you know it. Don't increase your standard of living until you have used the new money to create, leverage, and multiply the potential riches even further, and then use Wall Street's new money that you made to do these things. And that is a great principle. Now, verse 12 says, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Now, in the context of the man who makes money but doesn't know how to manage it, like Ecclesiastes 5:11 just spoke of, this is true. The man loses sleep. However, with a person who knows how to manage money as a tool and does not become covetous, in other words, wanting things that he has not worked for, then the money makes you sleep better. This is proven in Proverbs 10:21. It says, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. That's Proverbs 10:21 and 22. So, you know, you got to take things in context, and I think this is just fascinating information. So this verse in Ecclesiastes 5:12, where it says, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not allow him to sleep. This is the man who loves money, who is coveting things, and who every time he increases his money, he spends it on things, and it's not the wise man. And the verse there in Proverbs 10:21-22 proves that the wise man, when he makes more money, God adds no sorrow with it. And so we have to take all of that in context. But think about this, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. Well, what if you learn how to labor with your mind? In other words, through using skill sets, understanding knowledge of how to properly trade in the stock market, so that actually, even though it takes some time and some effort and really hard work to learn to get good at that, basically you're learning not to break the rules that we teach you there at Tradeway, but it takes time to get good at that. But when you do, you have now learned to let your money make the money. And I will tell you what, that's laboring. It's just working smarter and not harder. You've heard that expression, because you're using your knowledge, your mind, your skill sets, and you're leveraging all of the brilliant people on Wall Street, all of their money and all their things that they've put together to make money. You're leveraging that for your family. And I love the fact that the Bible says there in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Well, let's close with that thought today. And if you enjoyed this session, then please rate and review it. And that way people with similar interests can find us and we can be a help to them too. So have a great day. And we're going to pick this up where we left off next time. We'll see you then.